Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rochelle, Rochelle, and she joins us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Do you like that introduction, Rochelle?
I love it so much. Don't you think it captures my essence?
I do. It's sort of whimsical yet informative.
And sort of a little bit pugnacious.
Yes, I think all of that. Well, we're glad you're back on the show, and I don't know if you heard any of the previous segment, but I know one piece of your prior career was you had the Minneapolis City beat from the Star Tribune, and you reported on Minneapolis City policies and politics, right? Isn't that right?
I was at Minneapolis City Hall for 7 years, from 2000 to, I guess, 2007-ish.
So I have to ask, this thing we were talking about, the precarious state, the documentary that was on last night,
right.
Rick Coachella's behind it. And I should say, there's been a number of listeners who've texted in wanting to know who funded it and how it got on the air. I don't know the funders, but it was privately funded. And I suspect it's people who have some kind of perspective on Minneapolis. But I think Rick, if he was still on the line, would say he tried to focus on data and not put too much, spin on it. But did you watch it, Rochelle? And did you have a reaction to it?
No, it just came out. I haven't watched it, but I did see that I actually was just sort of, I think some of the people who were complaining about things in Minneapolis had a similar sort of sky is falling attitude. When I showed up at Minneapolis City Hall in April of 2000. So I think some of the folks who were captured on, now I haven't seen it.
All right.
But I think some of the folks captured on camera had a similar sort of doom and gloom outlook for the city. So, and it's still there. But I mean, obviously things have changed a lot. And I'm glad I no longer cover City Hall on a daily basis.
Yeah. Well, you were formerly a reporter. Now you're a columnist who can express a little more opinion. I know you're still trying to be even handed with that. But do you have a view of, the premise of Rick's documentary was basically relative to similarly situated cities, even factoring in COVID, that it's lagging in various measurements of jobs and crime and education and other things. Do you have a view of whether that's gotten worse or whether there's something new afoot in Minneapolis that would make it its relative standing slip so badly, if that's the case?
Yeah, I mean, the government at City Hall, it certainly seems, I don't know what numbers we're talking about. I mean, in some ways, I have colleagues trying to buy homes in Minneapolis as we speak, and that's very very, very difficult. So there are still people wanting to move to Minneapolis, regardless of whatever's going on there. So that's one anecdotal indication that the city's doing just fine. But I will say the government at City Hall is that's my dog Duke, by the way. Aww. Is a bit of the government of City Hall definitely is a head scratcher to me. It certainly seems. I mean, we throw around the word dysfunctional a lot in regard to government, but I guess I find it a little confounding, and I also find it confounding that the DFL party can't seem to manage to run a convention that is locked down and above reproach. I mean, we're still talking about that in the mayoral race. Well, early voting is open, and they're still disputing the endorsement. So that would seem problematic to me. And I mean, I'll say this: I said it back then, and I say it now. I just don't think. And whether you think this is one party or not, but I don't think one party rule is good for anybody. I think having two parties, a healthy minority, a majority. I mean, I've seen that across covering various levels of government. You want that. You want that tension, disagreement leads to better legislation. And what's going on at City Hall, I'm not entirely sure. It just seems doesn't seem great. I mean, all the people I covered back in the day kind of, I think, tend to agree with me. I don't know that any of them would really, the majority of them wouldn't fit in that environment. It was a much more pragmatic crew on the city council. Not entirely, but there definitely were some firm-handed pragmatists. And, you know, Mayor Archie Rybak came into office, and he had a clear ideas about what he wanted to do and was able to communicate those. And so I don't know, it's confounding, and I don't spend a lot of time at City Hall anymore, and I don't really want to. So it's just kind of mind-blowing to me.
We're talking to Rochelle Olson, who's a columnist for the Minnesota Star Tribune. And she does a column that weekly that I think is a lot of fun and interesting. It's an interesting read. It's called Cheers and Jeers. And she goes through sort of jeers, of course, being a little sort of skeptical or negative, and cheers being somebody to get kudos for something good. And we'll take a break in a minute, but we'll do one of these before we go to break. And speaking of dysfunctional, my party, you know, the Republican Party, it might be having a new candidate enter the governor's race. People know him as the pillow guy, Mike Lindell. Yeah. And you gave jeers to this idea this week, Rochelle. How come?
Well, come on. I mean,
yes, I agree. I admit it.
The last Republican, and this is my joke, by the way, that I'm going to throw out there right now because I won't be able to get, I couldn't get it in last time, but I would like to know what the hell Tim Pawlenty did that turned everyone off on Republicans statewide.
Whoa.
I know it's a little harsh, but I'm basically at my core, I'm a Tim Pawlenty fan. I can say that now.
You're nice.
But I mean, look at you compared to, and it's not fair to ask you to compare yourself to this guy, but you compared to Mike Lindell. I mean, come on. Come on.
Yeah, but you wrote about it in sort of specific terms. And by the way, I can't imagine even in its current state my party would endorse him for office, but I suppose anything's possible.
Well, dude, you know who they endorsed? They endorsed Royce White for U.S.
Yes,
Senate.
Yes, and
so
and
this
of course,
is not beyond. This is not beyond the out of the question.
But you referenced his. Yeah, I agree with you. By the way, I agree with you in that score. But you said it's a mind-blowing level of delusion, which I think was great writing, great phrase. But self-awareness is not a strong suit of many politicians or would-be politicians. And do you think he doesn't understand his sort of how people view him generally, or do you think he just doesn't care, or he's just damn the torpedoes full steam ahead? I mean, what's your theory?
My theory would be, well, maybe both, that he doesn't care. I mean, I bet you're the same way. I couldn't drive my car if my tabs were expired. I would sit at home and wait for those things to arrive in the mail. But here is a guy who's facing serious legal troubles and financial troubles on multiple fronts. And he's all, yeah, I'm the guy for this job. I mean, seriously, does that come from? I can't even begin to guess where that comes from.
Right. Well, politics attracts some interesting folks, to put it mildly. Well, Rochelle, we're going to take a short break. We're going to be back with the columnist from the Minnesota Star Tribune, and we're going to talk more about Cheers and Jeers, which is a great, fun, interesting column every week. And we'll be back after this break.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Chad Hartman Show, noon to three every weekday. Chad's not here today. He's out playing golf. We'll just be blunt about it. He cares more about golf than he does about his listeners. So I'm here caring for you, each and every one of you, and glad to be doing
so. It's accurate.
He doesn't.
Wow.
I'm joking. Chad loves his listeners, and he loves the job. His passion shows it. He's great at it. We're talking to Rochelle Olson. She is a columnist for the Minnesota Star Tribune. We mentioned she's got a weekly column called Cheers and Jeers, and there's a lot of fun and interesting things that go into it. Just one other word, because the people who are texting in have a lot of interesting thoughts. By the way, if you want to text in, it's 651-461-9226. Again, 651-461-9226, the WCCO talk and text line. And a number of texters have said, you know, basically, Pawlenty, you're not MAGA, and you don't understand the party of today. I concede openly and acknowledge that the Republican Party nationally is fully MAGA, and that has led to them currently being a national majority governing party, both the House and Senate controlled by Republicans, and same with the president. So I understand that. But as applied to Minnesota, not just as applied to Minnesota, we've had the leader of the MAGA movement, President Trump. He's run three times here, 2016, 2020, 2024. And as Rochelle, you mentioned in your article, and lost three times. And again, that's not a criticism of President Trump. Every Republican loses in Minnesota at the presidential level for a long, long time. But it just goes to show that if you offer the Minnesota voters just MAGA, it's probably not going to be enough. And so that's all I'm trying to say. It has to be something additional, more slightly different, and it can't just be MAGA only. So back to the article, Rochelle. You also mentioned somebody you like in the legislature. Our listeners may not have heard of him, but he's House Majority Leader Harry Nisca. Great person, I think. But you kind of gave a cheers to him. How come?
Well, earlier this week, when Walz was still in Ireland, the governor Walz was still in Ireland, they apparently had some negotiations on. Walz wants an assault, a special session, and he wants an up or down vote on an assault weapons ban. And Representative Nisca, House Majority Leader, stood up at a press conference and said there are zero votes for this in our caucus in the House. And Lisa Daymuth, the speaker, was there as well. So props to her, too. But it happened to be Nisca who said it. And I mean, I think, and I think you would agree as well. I mean, there's a lot to be said for being honest and for showing you they're not trying to be cute or say something. They're not wasting people's time. And so with dishonesty or blame, I mean, they're just flat out saying this is where we are. And when people are honest like that, I mean, that's a starting point, I think, for, I don't know where it's going to lead, but honesty is good.
Yeah. Yeah. And transparency is good too. And you get not as much as you'd like in politics.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and I will say, just adding to sort of cheers to Harry Nisca, I know him a little. I was talking to a high ranking Republican leader there not long ago about the dynamics in the legislature as it relates to Republicans. I said, is there anybody there who you know won't double deal you, won't stab you in the back, you know, as somebody in a leadership position that you can really trust and just kind of tells it like it is. And that person flagged Harry Nisca to fit that description. So kudos to your cheers. I'll add my kudos to House Majority Leader Harry Nisca for being blunt-spoken, plain-spoken, and
that's
honest.
Good to hear. That's good to hear. I love hearing people say that about politicians, especially those who are in prominent positions.
Yeah. Now, you also flag a number of other things, but let's go to another jeers. And you have given a jeers to our to our pro sports teams, the swift falls of our sports teams. But I'll add to that cheers, a simultaneous cheers to Minnesota Lynx star Nafisa Collier, who I think has been in the news. Some people may not have followed it, but I think that's definitely worth highlighting.
Oh, for sure. I mean, and I think I've cheered her before, and it's kind of hard not. I think I want to cheer her a lot because I think she stood up after the Lynx lost, and I mean she could have gone up there and complained about the call that sort of the no call in the game where she was injured, but she spoke to the greater issues in the league with not just the refereeing but the pay. They're coming up soon on the negotiations for their collective bargaining agreement, and she's the vice president, I believe, of the union. And so she kind of set the table and had some very, she had it written out, harsh words for the commissioner, basically sort of saying the commissioner wasn't working on behalf of the players and sort of wasn't bridging that divide. And it was, again, just a really powerful, bold statement. She's Nafisa Collier is going to be a star, whether she, regardless of what she negotiates, right, because of her skills on the court. But to use that platform for the great, for to speak up for everyone else in the league and everybody who's going to come after you, I mean, after in terms of following her in the league, not, you know what I mean, the future players in the league and sort of trying to build the league. I just thought that was really bold and powerful to speak truth to power in that way. And I think she's definitely, I wouldn't be surprised to see her end up as commissioner someday when her playing days are over. I mean, she's seems like a real force for good in the world in all sorts of ways. And that's just extraordinary for someone. She's not that old, right?
Yeah. And she seems strong. Strong, not just a great player, but a strong communicator. She's got leadership skills. And
right.
I don't know her, but people who I do know her, who I've heard comment about her, say she is not prone to hysteria or, you know, to exaggerate or whatever. She's just very direct, you know, informed, strong, clear, and especially when you're taking on the commissioner of your own league, those are good traits.
Well, and I think we've seen that. I mean, like you said, you don't know her. I don't know her either. I've never met her, but you see it in how she conducts herself. I mean, and you see what people write about. I mean, she's just sort of above reproach. She's just a real pro, and I'm just curious to see where her life and career takes her from this point forward. I think we'll be hearing a lot about her.
Do you consider yourself a Vikings fan, Rochelle?
Well, I grew up here, like yourself, and I mean, wouldn't you say it was kind of unavoidable?
Well, of course. But some people, it's sort of visited upon them, and other people embrace it and dive into the deep end of the Vikings purple pool. And I'm in the latter category, but it's worrisome to see the quarterback go down, their whole offensive line go down on the heels of the Lynx loss. Now we got a Vikings situation that looks, at least for the moment, pretty challenging.
Well, sure. I mean, I don't know the finer points of football, but I do feel like I've covered the Vikings in terms of, and I know a lot of people, like their front office. I've known them for years because of writing about stadiums and stuff. And frankly, the thing that people may not know about the Vikings is they've always been a real pleasure to deal with. I don't deal with the players. I don't deal with the coaches. I deal with the front office people. And they've always been delightful to deal with and just respectful. And it's a fun relationship for me in my professional career. So I have a lot of respect for them in that regard. But I also feel like the NFL, I mean, what's the line from the, and we're talking about the league that owns a day of the week. It's sort of like every year I think this is the year I'm going to do something more important on Sundays. But it's sort of unavoidable. I mean, it's just part of the spectacle. I mean, I'm not going to live or die whether the Vikings lose or win. That's for sure. But it's kind of why not enjoy the show? That's
well,
where
we love all of our sports teams in Minnesota, but the purple looms large for sure. But well, we'll have to wrap it up for this week. That is another installment of Cheers and Jeers with the Minnesota Star Tribune columnist Rochelle Olson. Rochelle, have a great weekend. Enjoy this weather, and we'll see you down the trail shortly.
Yes. Thanks.
Okay, there you go. WCCO Radio, we're going to take a short break and be back right after this.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.